We begin the current daf, Masechtas Neda, daf Yudalet. Begin on the bottom line of daf Yud Gimel Mabez, where the Gemara continues in the theme of the previous daf, and that is we had introduced, because we discussed in the previous mission regarding if a woman is mentally incompetent regarding to do the bedikas herself. So one of the cases was a shaita, and similarly we discussed regarding a kain that's a shaita, and we said we have to do ways to rectify that he could be able to eat truma. So one of the opinions had recommended making a case for his male member to see if he had a seminal emission, which the other opinion said that he can't do that because that actually is going to heat him up, warm him up, and then actually induce him to actually have a re'iyah of keri, and therefore that's not appropriate. Which our papa said that, well, that comes out that mechnesayim, certain types of tight pants, are also inappropriate because of the way it'll cause a re'iyah of keri. Similarly, Omar Baye continues on that theme and he says, Reich v'gemal, those that ride on camels, their male member gets heated up from the flesh of the camel which it rubs against it, and it causes them to emit seed. Asum lecha b'truma, those types of kahanim are forbidden to eat truma because of the tumah of keri that they have. Tanya Malcha, similar in the Braisa, a similar idea. Reich v'gemalim kulim rishayim, those who ride on camels are all wicked, as we just said, because they're emitting seed. Hasapanim kulim tzadikim, those who are sailors are all righteous. The reason that is because they're always in a dangerous element on the high seas, and therefore their heart is subjugated to Hashem, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to save them, and therefore they're actually righteous. Hachamarim, the donkey drivers, mehem rishayim, mehem tzadikim. Some of them are wicked, some of them are righteous. Why? So the Gemara explains. Ikedid Amri, those who say, because hod the machav. Machav is the terminology of a ukuf, of a saddle of a donkey. If it has a saddle, so then his male member is not getting heated up, because the wood that it's on, the saddle, is hard, and therefore it's not heating it up, that's a righteous. Hod the machav. But if it's not saddled, so then he's on the bare back of the donkey, so then his flesh is getting heated up from the donkey, thus again emitting seed. Whereas regarding the camels, the custom is to go without a saddle, and therefore it's just with a saddle cloth maybe, and therefore there it's always considered wicked and gets heated up. That's one interpretation. Vikudami, those say that no, hod the mitartin, that is, if he's riding with his thighs on either side of the animal, the way one normally rides straight up on the animal, so then his male member is on the back of the donkey, and therefore it's getting heated up. That's the wicked ones. Hod the limitartin, this that we said that he's righteous, is that he's riding the way a woman does, which is sideways, which is, therefore that's not going to be getting heated up. It's not going to be straight on the back. That's the righteous, which again, this term mitartin is like a scale where you have on either side hanging down. That is inappropriate, but on the side, that's okay. Now, similarly on this theme, Rabbi Shuman Levi layit, he cursed Aman de Gonia Parker, whoever would lay on his back with his face facing upwards, because that's disgraceful, because sometimes a person become hard, his male member, when he's sleeping, and that can be revealed, and that's disgraceful. And also additionally, if someone's sleeping like that, his hands might go on his male member and heat himself up. And again, thus all causing this great problem, as we said in the previous stuff, of being Mitzizer Labatola, of emitting seed in vain. Now the Gemara wonders, Ini, is that really so? V'amr of Yisuf, he says, Praktin Likur Krishma. Someone who's laying on his back should not recite the Shema. Says the Gemara, Krishma Hu Delikur. It sounds like, okay, reciting Shema, which has been Mekabel Olmach Shemaim, that shouldn't be done on one's back. Hamigna Shabar Demi, but just to lay down to sleep, that sounds like that is okay. Why did he curse such a person? Says the Gemara, no, there's a difference. L'inya Magna, regarding sleeping, Kimatzli Shabar Demi, if someone's leaning a little bit on the side, although he's on his back, that's okay. L'inya Krishma Kimatzli Aser. What we're saying is, you're right, not to lay on your back straight because of the problem, even for sleeping. But on the side, that's the difference, what we say only regarding Krishma, that even if you lean a little on the side, that's inappropriate unless the person is sitting or laying totally on the side, but on the back, even just tilting a little bit for Krishma, that's not appropriate. Says the Gemara, but for Rabbi Yechanan, Matzli Bekar Krishma, but Rabbi Yechanan, he would lay on his back and tilt a little bit, and he would say Shema like that. So he said that's the only way he could even sleep. Why did he say Shema like that? Says the Gemara, Shani Rabbi Yechanan, the Baal Basahav, Rabbi Yechanan was different because he had a lot of flesh, he was larger size. For him, it was very uncomfortable, and therefore it wasn't a sign of haughtiness, as long as he was tilting a little bit to the side, and that you don't have the problem of Zerah Levatullah, then therefore he said Krishma in that position. Now we continue with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the Mishnah, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, regarding these bedikas that we're talking about regarding women who are involved in taharis, and we have to make sure that they're not tummy as that of Nida, of having a Riyah of Dam. Says the Mishnah, Derech Benayis Yisrael, the custom of the Jewish women is Mishamshes B'Shnei Idim, that they have relations with two cloths. Why two cloths? Echad Loi V'Echad Lo. one for him and one for her, to wipe themselves after they had relations, to see where then there's the, you have the bodily fluids, and you see that if there was dam, to see if she's tummy regarding all the tahiris that she had before and coming up. Now, vatsnuas misakna shlishi. The pious women, they actually prepared a third cloth, lasakanes abayis, which means literally to prepare the house, means to say to inspect themselves before they had relations and to prepare themselves for having relations with their husbands. Now, the truth is this halacha applies not just to the pious ones, but to all women, as the Mishnah said previously in the Nafir Alf. Bishosh Shivers Lashamash's base. If a woman is involved with Tyrus, she should have an inspection before she's doing having relations too. Our Mishnah that specifies that snuas, the Gemara in the first paragraph explained, the pious ones, the cloth that they use to check themselves before having relations this time, they don't use before check themselves before having relations a different time. So everyone would check before relations in regards to Tyrus, but the pious ones would only use it one time and that's it. So says the Mishnah as follows. We have these two cloths after relations. You have his cloth and you have her cloth. So it says the Mishnah as follows. Nimtza, if they find blood, al shaloi, on his cloth, and even at a later point in time, where he delays after having relations a long time before he wipes himself, but if he wipes himself and he finds blood, obviously there's no blood coming from the male member. The blood was coming, came when he had relations with his wife. So they're for Tameim. So both of them are Tamei for 7 days. Har because obviously she's a Nida. And him because like having Boil Nida, having relations with a Nida, which Rabbi says in Mikra Tezvam, Fatihi Nidasa love. Har Tamei Nida is on him, on the Boil of having a Boil Nida, having relations with a menstruating woman. And V'chayav and Karban. And they're liable for Karban. And Karban Chadis, erroneously, they had relations as a Nida, which is an Erva of Nida. Now, that's if they find it on his cloth. Nimtza al shalof, they find it on her cloth. So says the Mishnah as follows. If it's asyoim, if it's immediately right after relations, she checks and she finds blood. So tameim, b'chayav, and b'karban. So then, again, it's also definitively here. The moment after she checks, she obviously was there this split second beforehand when they were having relations. So they're both tamei. Her, because she's obviously nida, and him, because he was b'ayla nida. And the chayav b'karban for having forbidden relations, a man with an erva of nida. Now, but let's say nimtza shalola acharzman. Let's say they find blood on her cloth at a later point in time. Not, she didn't check immediately after. So then, tamei misafik, they're both tamei out of doubt for a period of 7 days. However, and as the Achreinu explained this halacha, which I obviously understand that he's tamei misafik, because we don't know if she had the riyadam when they were having relations, because she only checked, she didn't check immediately afterwards. So therefore, it's obviously, even though we're considering, okay, there's definitely a doubt over here, it's a possibility, so we're going to consider him as a possible bayanida, and what he then touches for Tyrus for the next 7 days, we're going to say it's halacha of tamei misafik, which then that Tyrus will suspend it, you're not going to burn it, but you can't consume it. But they discussed regarding the woman herself, if, why would she be tamei misafik? She, well, we know she is a nida. We don't know if it was during the time of Tashmish or not, which other achronim say that, no, she even herself, because we don't know that there was a hargash that came with it, but be that as it may, there's a tamei of safik here on both of them, upturim in the carbon, and therefore they're exempt from a carbon, because we don't even know for sure if there was a sin that was committed here, even erroneously, to bring a carbon of chatzis. Now, says the Mishnah, so Ezehu Acharzman. So what is this tuma that we're saying that it wasn't right away, she didn't check herself right away. We find in the cloth a little bit later. What is that shear of Acharzman? Says the Mishnah is Kidesh Terid Minamita Vitadich Panao. It's the amount of time for her to get off the bed and to clean her face, which is the lower face, which is referring to the genital area. And that's the time of Acharzman. So it wasn't right away. It's until she gets off the bed and she then wipes herself then. But that would be this middle level of Tamei Misafik for both of them, but they're going to be exempt from the carbon. Then says the Mishnah, V'achakach, then afterwards, in other words, if she even delayed even more than that measurement, which we'll call Achar Achar, there's Asyoim immediately, then there's Acharzman, then there's Achar Acharzman. So then, metamim eisli eis. Then says the Mishnah, then the tumah is retroactively for the previous 24 hours regarding Tyrus or a person which, if she touched, to be tummy until the evening, which this is a rabbinic law, as we said in the first parak, for the previous 24 hours. But veinu metamim is a boila, but she's not going to make tumah, the man that she had relations within the last 24 hours, for a tummy of 7 days. He'll be tummy because he touched her, obviously, during relations, for a tumma of Erev, which is rabbinic, but we're not going to say over here that even that it's like a case of Safik tumma. We're going to say that no, it's not going to be a tumma of 7 days. Rather, he'll have that rabbinic tumma of up until the evening. Rabbi Kiva, he disagrees on that last point. He says, no, af matam es boilo. That Rabbi Kiva goes according to his reasoning, as he said in the first paragraph of Vav Med Alv, that this whole halach of being retroactive tamim for the previous 24 hours will even work to be matam the man that she had relations with out of doubt for a tamay of 7 days. Now, although the Chacham disagreed on Rabbi Kiva, but the Mishnah concludes, Maidim Chacham Rabbi Kiva, they do agree, Bereya Kasim, when she finds a stain, Shemitam is Boila. Then we say that that Tumah retroactive would actually work even in contaminating the man that she had relations with for a Tumah of 7 days. So Kesim, in this case, will be more severe than the Bedika that she did, that she found, which was Achar Zman. And then she finds, although there they say that, okay, you'll have a Tumah Esleis, because we know that she has a need, and we don't know when it started, so we'll say out of doubt rabbinically the previous 24 hours, but that's not going to be Tumah Esboilo. But by Kesem, when she finds a stain, then we're going to say that she's Tumah Esboilo. Now, the Gemara asks regarding the first case that we discussed here regarding the two cloths, which we said she has a cloth and he has a cloth. So he said that if he checks on his cloth, no matter when he checks, obviously if he has dam, we're assuming that it came from the place where the woman who has dam, and they're going to be tamei mevadei. Says the Gemara, why? Why is it definitive tama for both of them? V'nechesh dilma dam achaylesu, but we should at least suspect that maybe it's the blood of a kina of a louse, which is a small type of bug. Why do we say it's a definitive tumah? Like if he touches truma to burn the truma, that both of them are liable for a definitive karma chatas, at least let it be a doubt to make the truma suspended and only to obligate them in the ashim tali and not a chatas, because maybe the blood, maybe, is a dam achilas of a louse, which was in that place of the genital area of the woman. And when he had relations, it got stuck on him, and that's the blood that got onto his male member. That's what got wiped off. How do we know for sure? Says the Gemara, Reb Zeria says, "Oisim Makom, the place of the genital area of the woman, Badaku Itzal Machilas. It's inspected regarding a louse, which we know for sure there's no lice over there, and the blood definitely has then come from the only other option, which is from the body of the woman. That's why we say it's definitive." Megidami, to those who say that Dachaku Itzal Machilas, not that it's Baduk, but that it's pressed over there regarding Machilas. Means to say that the louse can't get in over there; it's too tight. So therefore it's dachug, and therefore again, that's another reason why we're not suspecting that it came from a louse, but rather definitively saying that it came from the woman. Says the Gemara, but now what's the difference between these two different versions? If it's baduk, like it's considered inspected, we know that no lice go over there, or that there's just simply no room for them. So therefore we know that if the male member has the blood, it's from the woman, not from lice. Ikabinayu, the difference between them is the shtakech machilis ritzufa. If we do find a louse that was crushed on his cloth, that he wiped himself, and that lice was crushed at a little distance from the blood that he finds on the cloth that he wiped his male member. Says the Gemara, Lahach Leshna Dama Baduku, according to the version that says that that place of the vaginal area of the woman, the genital area, is considered inspected. So since the Rabbanan knew that there's no lice over there, so then for sure the blood came from our body, because he had checked the cloth before he went and he wiped himself. And regarding lice, that obviously came from somewhere else after he had relations with her, it came on this male member, and then when he wiped himself, so then that's where it got crushed onto his cloth. But the blood most definitely, since the lice wasn't crushed on where the blood itself is, the blood was saying that came from the woman herself. But according to the version that says that it's as tightly pressed over there, then you could be in doubt to say that no, maybe the blood did come from a louse. And since it's tightly pressed over there, a mashamish rotzva, maybe say that the male member crushed it at the time of having relations and it crushed it in, and therefore the blood could have been from the louse itself, and therefore that's going to be different between two interpretations. If we're going to say in that case of when you find a crushed louse on the a little bit at a distance from where the blood is, if you're going to suspect that over here maybe it's not going to be definitive and it's not going to be a karbachatas, that would be the difference between if you hold it's dachuk, then you say it's a possibility. It's just tight over there, but the male member could have crushed it in. Versus if it's baldic, then you know there's no lice over there, and there's no way to suspect. Oh, you find on it, that happened later, but the blood we're going to assume came from the woman. Thing on this topic, Itma, we learned, Badka be'id ha-badikla. So if she checked herself with a pre-inspected cloth to make sure the cloth is clean, because the whole purpose is to verify is blood coming from her or not. So she checked with a pre-checked cloth. V'tachsa be'yirecha. Now, after she checked herself, she then swiped the cloth, it hit her thigh. Oh, okay. V'lamachar matza la'adam. That tomorrow, she sees on her thigh, she sees blood. which as Tosafot points out, this obviously is talking about where we're not suspecting that it could have dripped from her genital area directly over there. So the only doubt we're having over here is regarding this cloth and her thigh. Why does she have blood on her thigh? So Amar Rabbi says, Tamei Nida, this woman is definitively Tamei as a Nida. Why? Since she pre-checked the cloth beforehand, that there was no blood on it before she did her bedika, before she did her internal inspection. So most definitely, where did blood get onto the cloth? Obviously from her. Now, since it went and swiped her thigh, we say that why is there blood on the thigh? It came from the cloth, which came from her bedika. And we don't say that, no, maybe that blood came from somewhere else onto her thigh to say that it's a suffek tumah. No, we say, we know that the cloth hit the thigh, and you find the blood on the thigh. Now, if the cloth had made the thigh have dominant, that definitely came from the makar, because it was pre-checked before and that there was no dam. So therefore, he says, definitely she's a tumah as nidah. Now, Amar Rav Shimon bar Chiya says, how could you say that v'chisheshes amrit lan? You had told us not that she's definitely tumah, but we have to suspect her as Tamei, meaning as a suffix, not definitively, but in spite of that, Rav said that no, she's definitively Tamei. As the Gemara says, similarly, Itma Nami Sotu, we learned that Amish Mul. He says, Tamei Nida, she's definitively a Tamei as a Nida, Chin Marim Be Midrash, and Sotu, they taught in the Beis HaMedrash, Tamei Nida. Now, Itmar, we learned another similar type of a case. Batka Be'et She'en the Batakla. Let's say she checked herself, she didn't pre check the cloth. She took a cloth and she did a Badika, but she didn't check beforehand if it was clean or not. She just took one from the drawer and did it. Then she put it straight away into a box. Tomorrow she takes out the cloth and she finds blood on the cloth. Now, you could be in doubt that maybe the blood was there before she did the bedikah. She didn't check it beforehand to see if it was clean or not. Now, therefore, that's why we didn't say in this case over here, as in the previous case, regarding that she swiped her thigh with the cloth, and then she found on the thigh, like in the previous case, because in the case we're describing now, you would have two doubts as a leniency to say that it's not a problem. First of all, because you would say that maybe it's not from the cloth that hit the thigh, which that was one of the doubts that we had. And even if you can say it's from the cloth, but since it wasn't pre-checked, maybe it was on the cloth from beforehand. So then that we wouldn't say is a problem. But here we're saying it didn't nothing to do with the thigh. There was this cloth, so there's only one doubt. And she checked, she put it into a box, and she finds blood in it. So Rav Yisrael says, "Kol yom of Rav Chiya tamei." All the days of Rav Chiya, he would always say that in that case she's going to be tamei. Well, Leizik not say tir, but in his older age, he said that no, she's going to be tar. Now, Ibola, the following question: How did he say this? Kol yom of tamei mishim nida. Did he say that all his days when he was younger, he would say, "Yes, yeah, she's definitively tamei." And when he got older, all he did was says that she's going to be tar from definitive tamei of nida, but he did hold her at least tamei under like the rabbinic level of like finding a stain, because she did a bedikah and we find dam, and we don't know was it there before and not. And is it that at least rabbinically he held there was still tamei as kesem? Idimor, maybe they know. Kol yom of tamei mishum kesem. When we said all his days he held there was tamei was on the level of a stain. When he got older, he says that no, it's no problem at all, because we don't have no reason to suspect. We don't know. It could have been there beforehand. So what was it that was tihir, that was timi v'achkachtir? What was it? Nida and then kesem, or kesem and then nothing? So it's going to tamash tashim, let's bring a raya, the time we learn the braisel. This case, so a woman checked herself with a cloth that she didn't pre-check. She put it straight away in the box. Tamar, she takes out of the box, she finds dominant. So Rabbi Yami says, Tamei Mishum Nida. The woman has a definitive Tamar of Nida, because, look, we presume when she does a Bedikah, that's a place where we know what's called a Cheskes Dam. We presume blood comes from there. A woman has a period, she has a cycle. So we don't suspect that maybe it was there before. And we say, no, we know for sure. We're considering on a definitive level that it was from her. So therefore, she has a Tamar of Nida. He says, no, Tamei Mishum Kesem. Says she has like a tumah of like what's called a tumah of Kesem, means to say a doubtful tumah, which we have to suspend. It means to say we'll have to be stringent, but you can't treat like if it touches Tahiris regarding making that it's definitive tumah. Maybe. It could have came from, but it could have been there before. Now, to continue Tamid Beis, the Bryce that continues, Omlo Rebchi says to Rebbe, look, don't you agree that this, the case we're talking about of the stain that was not pre-checked and put into a box, that for it to be problematic has to have the size of a split bean and a little bit more, which is this shear, it's the measurement of regular k- kesamim of stains, where the tum is only if it's a gris of oida, as the Gemara says later on, dafnun chesma base. Because up until the size of a gris, then you could suspend and say that it's not even from har, it could be from a machilis, from a louse, which would produce that amount of blood. So don't you agree that it has to have at least that amount of blood? So Amalei Rabbi said to him, Avul, yes, that's right. So Amalei Zerchi said to him, Imkain, but if that's the case that you agree it has to have that amount of blood, Afata Sisa Kesem, then essentially you're treating it and you're giving it the same halachic status as a Kesem, which that's where it requires a share of a gris and a little bit more, but less than that is not a problem. So therefore, that means to say that the Tumah of it should also be a Tumah of Safi, the way I'm saying. Because if it's like you're saying that it's a definitive Tumah that we know it for sure, presumptively, that it came from a body, but the Gemara says later on, from Memon Aleph, that we know if it came from her, then even if it's the size of a mustard seed, even less, it's going to be Tameh. Why are you saying it has to have a Shri Gris Void? Obviously, because you're saying like me that it's a Tameh Safik. So that says the Gemara, but Rabbi Safik, Rabbi held that no. Be'inah Kegris Void, the reason why he agreed that you need to have the share of a split plane like that size and a little bit more, that's simply because Lafukim Midam Achelis, we have to preclude it from the blood of a louse, because you're right, Rebbe agrees, since it wasn't pre-checked, as long as you don't have the share of a gris v'aid, then you could be in doubt regarding the blood of a louse that maybe was on there before it was checked. But v'kivin enofag l'medam achilis, but once Rebbe says, since it's that amount of blood, which we know for sure it's not from the louse, because the louse doesn't produce that amount of blood, v'adai megufasas. He says, no, then we know for sure definitively that it did come from a body, and therefore it has a definitive tumah, not a doubtful tumah. It's not like a kesem. We need the shear of a kesem simply so that we know it's not from machilis. But once we know it's not from machilis, therefore it's a definitive tumah, not like Reb Chiya said, that it's a tumah misafik. But one thing, says the Gemara, we could prove from this brice is, my love bizik nusikai. Isn't it obvious that this brice was when he was in his older years because he's disagreeing, which he wouldn't do in his younger years, with his Rebbe, which was Rebbe. So the inference obviously is that in his older years, he was saying that it's as a kesem, which that was what we called, he was metar. Obviously, in his younger years, when he said it was tummy as a nida, as a definitive tummy shmama, no, obviously we proved that what it was, that timay, when his younger years, but tihir, was timay as a nida, and his older years, not tar v'loy klum, but tar, at least from a definitive, but it was still tummy as a kesem, as a doubtful tum. Now, continuing on this theme, on the same discussion, mishtabeach le-rebi shmo b'rebi yisi. The Gemara brings the story that Rebbe praised to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yisi regarding Reb Chama Bar Bisa. He was praising to him about this Reb Chama Bar Bisa, the Adam Gadol, that he's a great person. So he said to Rabbi, when he comes to you, bring him to me. So Kiyasa Amalei, when he came to him, so Rabbi Shmuel said to Reb Chama, ask from me a question. So Baimon, they asked from him this following question. He says, "But and the same halacha." He says that if a woman checked with a non pre checked bidika cloth, and she put it into a box, and then tomorrow she takes it, she finds out blood, and then what's the halacha? So Malay, Sir Bishmam Brisi said to him, "Okay, I have an answer for you. Kedivri Abba Emalach? Should I tell you like my father's opinion, that of Rabbi Yisi? Like Kedivri Rabbi Emalach, or should I tell you like the opinion of Rabbi, which we're going to shortly quote their machlekes?" So he said to Reb Chama Bar Bisa, said to him, "Kedivri Rabbi Emalach, I want you to tell me the opinion of Rabbi." Adam Rabbi Shmuel, he says, "Zeu she'amar lav da'adam gadlu." This is the one who they said that he's a great person. Heich manichin divrei Rav, v'shamer divrei Tama. How could he leave the opinion of the master and hear the opinion of the student? Where Rabbi was the student of Rabbi Yisi, why would he want the opinion of Rabbi? But says the Gemara, Reb Chama Bar Bisa, so he thought the reason why he wanted Rabbi's opinion was because Rabbi Reish Masifto, Rabbi was the head of the yeshiva, v'shchich Rabban Kamei, and he has all the rabbinic students in front of him. U'mechad Dishmaitz, and therefore his teachings are more sharp. So therefore, yeah, although he was the student, he requested to hear the opinion of Rabbi. Says the Gemara, my Rabbi, my Rabbi Yisi. What are these two opinions? This machlekes of Rabbi and Rabbi Yisi. So Amrav Adab Masna says, "Tanu let Nabraisa." The Rabbi Mitameh, as recorded before, Rabbi held that it's a definitive tuma of nida. Rabbi Yisi mitar, and Rabbi Yisi says that no, it's going to be tar. Now, Vamra Bezeir, he says, Keshatimi Rabbi, when Rabbi held that it was Tame, that's because he was going Kereb Meir, as we're going to shortly quote. Ukshati Rabbi Yisi, when Rabbi said it's going to be Tar, La'atzmai Tir, meaning to say he was going according to his own reasoning, which is the Gemara brings later on the New Testament Bay, is that he holds the same halacha elsewhere. With the Tanya, like, learned in the Brisim to prove this halacha that Rabbi was going like Kereb Meir, in the following halacha, a woman that was taking care of her needs, meaning that she was urinating, Varasadam, and she sees blood. So Rabbi Meir says it depends. In my medis, if she was urinating standing, so then Temeya, then we're going to consider her tummy as a need. Why? Because since if a woman urinates standing, it presses in the internal area of the woman, So that could cause that the urine should go back up into the uterus and then bring back with the urine some of the blood from the uterus. As the Gemara explains this later on over there in Perakei Isha. So therefore, if there's blood coming out, where is the place where blood usually comes out? From the uterus. Now, as long as it's possible, when she's standing, to be that way, so then we're going to assume that it did come from there, we're going to consider it as a nidah. But in Yeshavas, if she was urinating sitting down, then Tahira, then Rebbe says she's going to be tar, because obviously, if she's urinating in the regular fashion of sitting, where the body doesn't usually work that way, to just jump up into the uterus if she's sitting. So it definitely came from the place at which she's urinating. And although there's blood coming out of the woman's body, the tumma of nidah is only when it comes from the uterus. Here she has some internal bleeding from something, and therefore it's not going to have halach of tumma. But one thing the Gemara is proving from here is from the fact that Remeir says that if she's standing, she's tameya, even though it's at least a doubt that maybe it did come from the place of where the urine comes from. But since there's indicating factors to tell us that since it was tightly pressed her body when she's standing up, we could presume that the blood came from the uterus and then she's going to have a definitive tumah. So therefore here also in the halach of Rabbi that he held that mitam, it's going to have a definitive tumah, because this direct line will double this indicating factors telling us that it came from a place that's going to make her tummy. That's the same halacha that it was saying over here regarding where it wasn't pre-checked. But again, where does the blood usually come from? When the woman does a badika, there's blood over there, it's going to have a definitive tumah, even though there's still an element of doubt. That's the same idea we find by Remeir. Whereas Rabbi Yisrael, he says, no, benkech tar, he says, no, either way, whether she's standing or sitting, it's going to be tar. And again, that's the same idea, which we're saying that he's l'shatasai, that he holds that as long as the element of doubt, we have no way to say that, and therefore she's going to be tar. Now, Amalei Rav Acha, Bereid the Rav of Ashi, he says, but how could you bring this Remeir as the source for Rabbi? But V'am Rabbi Yisrael Reb Chanin, he says, Kishatim Remeir, when we have this, halacha the Remeir says, it's going to be Tomei. Late Timei Elimashim Kesem. He said, it's only going to be like the halacha of a Kesem, of a stain, which is a doubtful Tomei, at least to suspend. Ve'ilu Rabbi, but Rabbi, the halacha that we brought before that says, Timei is Mishum Nida Kamer, as we quoted Rabbi before, this is Timei and Nida, she's going to have a definitive Tomei's Nida. So how can you bring Remeir as a support, where even though there's element of doubt, when she's standing, Remeir holds your tummy, but Remeir is only saying a suffix tummy. How could that bring a riot to Rebbe, who's saying a definitive tummy? On that, Amalei said to him, no, ananhecha kamrinan. We said like this, the kiyat mahi, when did we have this teaching of Rabbi Yisrael Chanin that you're asking on me from? He actually said, Mishum nidi itma. No, not like the way you're quoting. He actually said that Remeir's teaching was as tumma of a definitive tumma. So therefore, that's a clear source for Rebbe, who was also saying, even though there's an element of doubt, we go where we presume things to be as a definitive tumma, not the way you're quoting and asking that Remei only said as a kesem, as a suffix tumma. Now, we continue the halacha of the Mishnah that said, nimsa al shalah. So up until now, we're speaking about if we find it on his bedika cloth. Then the Mishnah said, nimsa al shalah, if we find it on her cloth, so if it's asim, if she checks herself immediately, then tumei mechula, then we say they have a definitive tumma, and the tumma for 7 days, and they have to bring a carbon. Now, Tana Rabbah Melinda Braisa that qualifies this and says, hey, Zehu Shir Vesis, what's the measurement of immediacy to say that they have a definitive tumma? So, Mashal Lashamash Ve'eid Sha'im de Betzara Mashkim. This could be compared to the male member and the cloth that is standing there on the side of the lintel, which is a euphemism for the woman's genital area. Be'etziyah Shamash Nichnes Eid. Right when the aver comes out, the cloth goes in. Means to say, that's Havavesh Sha'amru, that's the immediate of the immediacy of the checking that we said to make them liable for karmen chatas, but that's obviously kinuach. That's obviously only wiping the external area. Avaloy lebedika, but not to do an internal inspection, because if it would mean that, that would be delaying a longer amount of time. That would then be only a doubtful tumma, and to then be a nashim tali. But rather, what we're saying, the immediacy is right away, right when the member aver of the male member leaves, then she does a wipe right away. That's considered asim to be a definitive tumma, to be chayav b'karmen chatas. Now the Mishnah continued, nimsa shalah la'achar zman v'chulu. But let's say she doesn't check right away, but a little bit after that. So then we said, okay, then there's a tumma suffix for them for 7 days, and they're going to be putter from a carbon. Now, however, on this halacha of when it's not immediately, but after immediately, which the Mishnah said that upatur min a carbon, they're going to be exempt from a carbon. Tanu b'lut na b'raisa says, no, b'chayav an ashim talik. You're right, they can't be chayav a karmen chatas, but the b'raisa says they're at least considered chayav for a suspended ashim, which a doubtful isser. Says Gemara b'tanu d'amai tamis. So what's the reason of the Tana of our Mishnah, who also holds it's a suffix? Why don't they obligate ashim talik? Says the Gemara, because b'in chaticha m'shtei chatichas, because you need to have to be one out of two pieces. Because the halacha says in the pasuk of Ashem Talim Yukahe, it says that if someone's going to buy, not sure if he did an aver achas mikol mitzvah Hashem from one of the commandments of Hashem. Now, this Tana holds of our Mishnah that what's called yesh im lemikra. We give primacy for how something is read. Now, when we read that pasuk, although it says mitzvahs with one vav, we read it in the plural as if it's a mitzvahs with two vavs. So that's plural, so obviously the doubt has to be with two elements. Meaning to say, if he had one prohibited piece and one permitted piece, and then he eats one piece and we don't know which piece he ate, or he had his wife and his sister with him in the house. He had relations with one of them, thinking that it's his wife. Then he finds out actually both his sister and his wife were in the bed and he doesn't know who he had relations with. That's when you chayv asham talim. But over here, where there was one piece, where we're not sure if it was permitted or forbidden, so then that's not going to be liable, a liability for karma chatas. Here also, where we're talking about where there's one element, we're not sure if there was an is or not, that doesn't fit the criterion for a chiv asham tali. Whereas the Tana of the Brisa holds yesh im lemisayris, we give primacy for how it's written. Since with one vav, it's like in the singular. As the Gemara brings this in Masechet Kisa of Yudzayim Beis, so therefore he holds, yeah, that would qualify. You have a doubt regarding did you commit an is or not, you would be chayv asham tali. That's machlekes our Mishnah and Tana of the Brisa. Then the Mishnah said, so ezeru achas man b'chulu, so how do you qualify this next measurement of what's after the immediacy? So he said that's the amount of time that she comes off the bed and then she checks, that would qualify for this tumah mesafik. Says the Gemara, but Ramina, it seems to be contradicted from a b'raisa. The b'raisa says, ezeru achas man, what's the measurement of after immediacy? So Pirush Rabbi Eliezer Reb Tzadik, he says, k'dei sh'teishid yada tachas hakara tachas hakesis, the amount of time that it takes for her to reach underneath her pillow or underneath her blanket when she's still in the bed, v'titel eid v'tivdik bay, and then she takes the cloth and she checks with it, that's after immediacy. But it sounds like, but if she would have to get off from the bed, that's a little bit longer of time, then that would not make her boil. That would not make the one that she had relations with tamei even out of suffolk. Rather, that would be like just a regular touching, which is at a later time that she found blood, that would be retroactive tumah for the previous 24 hours. So, but that contradicts our Mishnah, which said that no, the amount of time of coming off the bed is the tumah misafik one, the middle category, the achar asyam. Here it sounds like that would be achar achar. So Rav Chisdi says it's not a contradiction. My achar, what does the Mishnah mean when it says, oh, ezer achas man, that's the amount of time of coming off the bed, that's not going on achar asyam, that's not going on after immediacy to say that that will be tamim isafik. Rather, that's achar achar. That's going on. What's at a later point in time, which is after that, which is after the immediacy, which actually is not going to be metame the boil, according to Rabban, only according to Rabbi Kiva, that's kadesh, meaning a third category. It's a third level. That's kadesh terid. That's to come off from the bed. So you're right, says the Gemara. Asyam tamim vadai. Achar Asyam is what we see in the Braisa, which is to reach under the pillow and do the Bedika. Our Mishnah was talking about Achar Achar. And that's, you're right, that's not going to be Tam Mesafik. It says the Gemara, but Vokatani Allah, or like other Girsayas, have it of Allah Katani. But on this case, the Mishnah tells us as follows. The Mishnah says as follows. It says, Nimsal Shalala Achar Zman. If you find on her cloth at a later time, Temein Misafik or Peturim in the carpet. That's the case, seemingly the middle case, the one right after the definitive one. So they're Tami both out of doubt. But they're going to be exempt from a carbon. Of that, the Mishnah said, is there achar zman? What is this case of achar zman? Is kadesh teri min amita v'tadich panel? Is to come off in the bed and then do a wipe on her lower region. So obviously we see that it's going in the case of tamim misafik because we're saying even the court rabbanan, it is going to be tamim misbayla. So we're back to the contradiction with the brisa. So it's going, no, it's not difficult. Hachikama. This is what the Mishnah is saying, and this is like what would be qualified as what's called chesur mechzer. You're right, there's words missing in that Mishnah. This is the way you have to read it. Izeo achar zman. You're right, it says those words in the Mishnah. Which, you're right, that's the case of right after immediacy, which the tum is going to be misafik. But it doesn't say the words. That's like we have the words in the Braisa. For her to be able to reach beneath the pillow or beneath the blanket where she had the cloth waiting, and v'titel eid v'tivdik boy, and to take the cloth and to do an inspection. That's the middle case. Then our Mishnah continues with the third case. But regarding coming off in the bed and then wiping the general area, that's the machlekes, Rabbi Kiva Chacham. That's the machlekes between Rabbi Kiva and the sages, where the Chacham hold that it's going to be b'tam eis le'eis, but it's not going to be b'tam es boila. But Rabbi Kiva says, no, it'll even be b'tam es boila, even in the previous 24 hours. So it is like Rav Chisda said, it is the case of achar achar. But says the Gemara, but va'achar kach tani. But our Mishnah says, after that case, the Mishnah says, oh, and va'achikach, and after that, oh, then the tum is going to be me'esh le'esh, and it's not going to be tamas boila. Obviously, that the delay is more than the amount of tama coming off the bed. That's where they have the machlekes. But the amount of tama coming off the bed, that sounds like from the Mishnah, that would be tama even according to the Rabbanan. So again, we're back to the contradiction between the case of the Braisa. It says not a coming off the bed. It's only the amount of being able to reach beneath the pillow, beneath the blanket. Says Gemara, no, it's still not difficult. Hachakam, this is what the Mishnah is saying. V'zehu, and this measurement of coming down from the bed, that is, so achakach is not another case. The Mishnah is qualifying, saying, that is achakach shenechalku Rebbe Akiva Chacham. That is the case of subsequently, which is a machlekes Rebbe Akiva Chachamim, which is the amount of time to come off the bed. That's already in the category of however later she's going to check, that it's going to be tummy in the previous 24 hours. So that's one interpretation, which Rebbe Chis is saying, that it's not a machlekes, because you're right, the case of the Braisa is really the middle case, and the case of our Mishnah is really the tertiary, is really the third case, which is the case of Achakach, which is machlekes Rebbe Akiva Chacham. It's not a case of Tam Misafik. Another interpretation of Hashem, he says, no, Idi v'idi chad shiruhu. He says that actually the case of the Braisa and the case of our Mishnah are both Tolkema Acha Asim, but they're the same measurement, so it's not a machlekes, because as follows. Aid biyada, if the cloth is in her hand, that she doesn't have to go ahead and stretch her hand beneath the pillow, beneath the blanket, that's the same measurement, kadesh teri min amita b'tadechas panel, to get off from the bed and to wipe the lower region with that particular cloth. Ain aid biyada, but if she doesn't have the cloth in her hand, she has to reach beneath the pillow, that's kadesh teri shed yod l'tachas akar, l'tachas akasas, to be able to reach her hand beneath the pillow, beneath the blanket, v'titel aid v'tivetik boy, and then to take the cloth and to wipe with it. While she's still in the bed, that's the same measurement. That's the interpretation of Rav Ashi. Whereas again, according to Rav Chisda, he held that no, even if the cloth is in her hand, it's still longer the amount of time of getting off from the bed than from reaching beneath her pillow. That's why he interpreted that the case of the Brice is Achar Asyam, but then the case of our Mishnah of coming down from the bed is Achar, the way he had interpreted. But Rav Ashi holds that the same measurement, there is not a contradiction. The Meisvei, but the Gemara asked Rav Ashi from the following Brice. Brice says, Ezeo Achrezman. What is this measurement of not immediately, after a little bit amount of time? So, Dovazeh Shal Rebbe Lazar Rebbe Tzadik Lefnei Chacham Ba'usha. Lazar Tzadik had asked this question in front of the sages in Usha. And Va'amalehem, and he said to them, as a Ketintab of Tezvam and Aleph, says, Shemek Rebbe Kiva Atam Aymer. Maybe you hold like Rebbe Kiva. Shemetam Es Boila. That he holds, yeah, anytime it's not immediately, he's still going to make the one that she had relations with, Tamei, for the previous 24 hours. Like we quote him, he holds that Tamim Masafik is even Til Hamas Baila Shabbos Yamim, and therefore you didn't have an exact measurement. Rather, it works for the previous 24 hours. On that Amalei, they said to him, Lei Shemanu. No, we didn't hear this measurement regarding what's considered Achar Zman, to say this Tamim Masafik to Tamim Baila, but we don't hold a group of Kiva. We don't hold that, yeah, even after that amount of time, the Baila is going to be Tamim from the previous 24 hours. We don't hold like him that no matter how long she waited, that if she's going to have this Tamim Masafik, we'll say it's Tamim of the previous 24 hours, even in Tamim Masafik, like we quoted for Bekiba. But we don't know exactly, so how long is the amount of time that will still give him a Tamim Masafik? Because if you don't like Rebbe Akiva, then if she checks a longer time of span, then he's not even going to have a Tamim Masafik, as we quoted in our Mishnah. But we didn't hear that measurement. So he said to them, well, Kach Pirsha Chacham B'Yavna, this is how the sages explained it in Yavna. She didn't delay the amount of time that it takes for her to get down from the bed and to wipe the lower region. Rather, she was still in the bed, and she checked while she was still in the bed. That's considered within the amount of time. B'tmein misafik, and therefore, then the tumma will still be viable to make them both tumme out of doubt. But ubatur mekarbon, they're exempt from mekarbon chatzas, but b'chayavim b'ashram tali, like the time of the Braisa, but they will be liable for an ashram tali, which that is achar asim. It wasn't immediate, but she's still in the bed, which is like Rav Chisda, as he had explained, that the halacha of a Mishnah agrees to the halacha of the Braisa, that the halacha of the Braisa, that category of not coming down yet, but checking in the bed, that's the tamim masafik category. But if she delayed the amount of time where she already was able to get down from the bed and then wipe herself, which is already a longer amount of time, achar hazman who's a, well, that's already not achar hazman, like what we were saying, but it's achar. That's after already. So then that's not going to have this tamim misafik. And v'chein kishashas meis leis. Same thing is regarding a delay of the 24-hour period. In other words, this same idea, the same halacha will be, but the same idea of a 24-hour period from the bia. That if she checks herself, she finds that she's tummy, or in bekidl bekidah, or within the last 24 hours, from the last time that she checked, boyla mitame mishamaga. So if she had relations with someone, so then he's going to become tummy simply because of touching her. Which, again, like we said in the first parak, that if a nida, she finds dam. So rabbinically we say that whatever she touched in the previous 24 hours is going to be tummy up until the evening because of a safek drabanan to be tummy, let's say maybe that she was tummy. But ve'en mitame mishamboyla. But it's not going to be metam him because of having had relations as what's called a boil nida, to have a tumah of 7 days, even out of doubt. No, for that, like the Chaman HaMishnah said, it's not going to have a tumah of boil nida, even out of safik. Whereas Rabbi Kiva, he says, Na'af metam mishum boil, we're even going to give a tumah safik for the last 24 hours on the boil for a tumah of Shiva. Rabbi Huda ben Yishol b'yechad mitzakaim, he says, Baila nichnas lehechel umak de gitaris. No, as the Gemara will explain, as we'll quote in the next daf, later on, that the husband has no problem at all. He could even go to the sanctuary, he could even be makta kataris. Doesn't have any halachic problems at all. But one thing says the Gemara, what we see from this price is, Bishlam al-Rav Chizda, we understand according to Rav Chizda, that he says that the amount of time of our Mishnah, of Kadesh Teirit, to come down from the bed, he said that's achar. That's not just after immediacy, that's after immediacy. So the Matar Rabban. So therefore, that's why we see in the price over here that Rabban said, yeah, he's going to be considered tar. And we're not going to say that he has a tamim misafik of a bayil nida. El Ravashi, according to Ravashi, am I mitar Rabban? Why do Rabban say that he's tar from the safik of bayil nida? What do you mean? According to him, he holds that's the same shear as the halacha of the brayso, which is the tamim of safik. Now, v'chitim, if you're going to say, oh, it's not difficult because the ain't biyada, that the case of the brayso is talking about where she wasn't holding the cloth in her hand. That is, after she even came down from the bed, she then still had to go and reach under the pillow to get the cloth, which actually that's already a delay of 2 measurements. But if that's the case, then the Mishnah should have told her, the Brisa should have said the differentiation in this halacha between if the cloth is in her hand or not in her hand, so that it shouldn't come out a perversion of the halacha. Because just reading the Brisa right now, it sounds like that there's no difference, that even if the cloth is in her hand, and she only delayed the amount of time of coming down from the bed, it sounds like the Rabban will hold that he's going to be tar, from the fact that it doesn't differentiate. Obviously, the Rabban will hold that they're going to be tar, just if it's the amount of time of coming down from the bed from himself. So Zigmar Kasha has definitely difficulty on the interpretation of Vashi, because it sounds like that just coming down from the bed, because, yeah, you could give an answer of Vashi to say, oh, she wasn't holding the Badika cloth. Oh, that's not the same as the Bryce. Oh, that is a longer time. Oh, then he's not going to be Tumah Safik. But then say it. For the fact that it didn't differentiate and just says that the amount of time coming down from the bed, Rabban Hodigun's going to be Tar, sounds like Rav Chizda, and therefore it's a difficulty on the interpretation of Rav Vashi.